What's up, guys? It's the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Jared Stansberry, Rob Gray. It's the seniors. What's up, my man?
Not much. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good.
You're a new puppy owner?
I am a new puppy owner.
Father owner. I always the owner relationship. I think father is probably a better way to put it.
Yeah.
You're finally a dad.
I guess so, yeah. I feel like I have a lot of power now that I'm responsible for two lives.
Oh, that's true. That's true. It's great power and great responsibility.
She already loves rap music.
Excellent. So does she like howl along with it?
No, she just falls right asleep. I feel like that means that she likes it.
Yeah, I would think so. Mellows out and just kind of like absorbs what's going on, and then okay, I can settle back.
See, yeah. As always, the seniors is brought to you by Performance Concrete Polishing in Urbandale. They're gonna make. Concrete's a boring thing, man.
Yeah.
You look at concrete and it's boring, it's gross. Make it look beautiful. That's what you can do with Performance Concrete Polishing in Urbandale. They'll make anything look great, anything you want, and they're going to get that looking good. So check them out in Urbandale, their showroom, or you can give them a call. Check them out online at www.performanceconcretepolishing.com.
For sure.
So we've got a lot to cover today. We've got a top five, as always. Do you want to preview our top five?
Preview it. Well, first of all, I want to thank everybody who responded, and we'll get to other top fives as we go forward. We just it's kind of picking out of a hat,
right?
But yeah, it's our top five favorite bands/artists of all time, and like so many other things, it's a really tough thing to narrow down. And you'll say to yourself at the end, it's like, why didn't I put them on there, or why did I put him or her or whatever on there,
right,
instead of X? But I think I got a pretty good list, a fairly representative list. It'll be very different from yours.
This topic was courtesy of Matt, our good friend,
friend
of the program, Matt Nelson.
Koozie Impresario.
Yeah. I met him at the Size House of Trivia.
Yeah.
He's a good dude.
He is a good dude. That was a good table, too. They looked like a fun bunch.
Yeah, definitely. They built one of the larger cup pyramids.
Yeah. It was impressive. I was impressed.
We were more
by
focused
on
the trivia than the cup pyramids.
Well, Chris told us how poorly we were going to do, so we were pretty committed to having a fine finish. And as they touched on in the most recent podcast, third place.
That
would be like the Cubs 1982 coming out of nowhere and getting to the NLCS and almost to the World Series. 84, they finally had a decent year again, but they were terrible a lot of years.
Yeah, so now that we've got our Cubs mentioned out of the way.
Hey, the Cards are doing okay.
Yeah.
They're doing okay. They're in second place.
Or
they were last night.
I think I watched one game so far.
It's hard to sit. When I was young, I used to love sitting down and watching a whole game. Now I'm doing enough stuff, whether it be out in the yard or the garden or chasing after the kids. Social media is great for that, or your phone, an app, with the scores and radio, too. I love baseball on the radio because you can do other things. You're not chained to the couch and therefore the TV.
Right.
So that's the way I like to consume it now.
So Matt Campbell's still on a roll on the recruiting trail. Got their ninth commitment of the 2017 class yesterday. That was Mr. Jake Hummel from Dowling Catholic down in West Des Moines. So the Tommy Burch is, I'm sure Tommy Burch is happy today with another Maroon becoming a Cyclone.
Yeah, doing work with the Maroons. And of course we had, and thanks again to Jake McDonough for being on last week, who assists at Dowling. And he was telling us just how many good players. I mean, we know Dowling is year in and year out one of the teams. His alma mater, Jake's alma mater, Valley, is one of the teams, too, that's always there.
Mm-hmm.
They're loaded with talent. The more you can get in on Dowling kids and get them to Iowa State versus Iowa or elsewhere, Amara Darbo, a number of years back, went to Michigan, would have been a great guy to keep in state as well. The more you can get in there, the better, for sure. This Hummel sounds like a nice player, too.
Yeah, definitely. His film's pretty impressive. Adam Gray is trying to call me right now. What are you doing, Adam Gray? Doesn't he know that we're recording the seniors?
Is it important news we need to break on the seniors, which will then be a few hours passé?
No, I think he wants to talk about the Cyclone Fanatic golf outing, May 20th, something that you should get on the site and check out if you haven't already.
Are you good at golf?
I am not good at golf.
I'm terrible.
Are you going to golf in the golf outing?
If I'm invited, I will do it so I can be a source of endless entertainment for everyone else around. This is a classic story of a classic old man story. My dad played golf, and I think he was sort of okay. It just as a recreational guy, but he's right-handed.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a lefty. So when I wanted to go golfing, I'm like, oh, my dad's got this bag of clubs, I'll go and do that. So I learned how to play golf right-handed and not play it well.
Mm-hmm.
I later tried to do it left-handed. Like I went and bought some clubs, said, look, I could pound the ball in baseball and slow pitch softball. I mean, I was a power hitter, so if I can get back to that natural, but I couldn't get that swing out. So I would swing and miss a ton. It's a lot easier. You know, I'd been playing those games for so long, I'd just load up, step in, and let it rip. And you can't do that in golf. You know, you've got to have a more controlled swing. Yes, once the muscle memory is totally there in that arc, you can do it. And that's where you're at. But, you know, I'd have 300-yard drives, and then I'd swing and miss. And then I'd, hit on the top of the ball whenever I tried to pitch. So I went back to right-handed.
Did you say 300 yards? You'd hit it 300 yards?
Yeah.
I don't think... Isn't that like professionals? Or are they hitting it like
400
yards?
Oh, lots of recreational scan. And when they hit it just right. Okay. You know, to like it down a straight fairway.
I was going to say, I don't think I've ever hit the ball 300 yards.
Yeah.
But I've only played golf a couple times.
Yeah, you're probably better than I am.
Tom Brady's 4-game suspension got reinstated.
Good.
So, is it good? Why?
He deserves it.
Does he? Why do you say that?
You don't think he was part of any shenanigans?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like the NFL's been pretty ridiculous over this.
Well, we'll agree to disagree on that. There's a lot
Voice
of
Voice your opinion, Rob. Voice
there,
your opinion.
There's a lot of smoke and fire. Well, I did. I disagree with you. I think he deserves to be suspended. I mean, there's the texts and the things back and forth about the... I mean, hey, he likes his football slightly deflated. That's against, and he went about trying to, apparently, hey, they did the investigation and they reinstated it, so they must have found more evidence that compelled them to do it. So I'll trust their process. I don't always trust the NFL's processes on things, but.
That was the District Court of Appeals that actually reinstated the.
Oh, okay.
Suspension.
What?
That's what it says. U.S. Appeals Court reinstates Patriots Tom Brady's 4-game suspension over Deflategate.
I didn't understand how, like the judicial, the judiciary can. I mean, what's next? I mean, somebody does something in baseball, and some district court of appeals is gonna, you know, hey, Matt Holliday, PEDs, you know,
uh-huh.
You're gonna suspend him for 60 games. I don't know.
Well, isn't
that's probably part of the deal. Yeah.
Isn't that already the rules?
Of course it is.
Well, then why, how would that be different than how it already is then?
The courts deciding whether what happens in baseball versus baseball deciding what's in baseball, what the short term of suspension is.
Yeah, I guess so. You're fired up today.
Yeah, I am. Well, I'm thinking about these top five lists, and I was already talking about what a terrible golfer I am, so I am already in a
I bet you're not that bad.
Rancorous mood.
You and I can play together, and we'll be awful together.
Yeah, we'll laugh at each other.
Right.
That'd be perfect. Might be a few beers.
Yeah, oh, a few.
A rolling, crate of beers behind us.
Definitely. So the other thing that we wanted to touch on was this Bill Fennelly deal.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Fennelly and Nikki Moody. Nikki Moody obviously deciding to sue Bill Fennelly, the Iowa State, and the state of Iowa. I'm sure if you're listening to the podcast, you've probably heard plenty about it. So what do you think about this? What do you think is going to come of it?
Well, I want to hear actually from you first because you've been closer to the program in recent years. And, you know, we all know – I will say this and then we can go back and forth briefly. But everyone knows how he coaches, and it's intense, and it's not for everybody. If you're thin-skinned, you don't want to play for Bill Fenley.
Right.
You just don't. You should understand that up front, and if you came on a visit, you would have seen that's how he coaches.
Mm-hmm.
It's very old school. I mean, some people make the comparisons to Bobby Knight. I guess I'm rambling on here, so then we can go back and forth. But not the same as Knight. I mean, Knight had some really, really, really ugly incidents.
Right.
Still a great coach. No question about that. But he's a hard-nosed coach, and he expects every last bit of effort. That's why whenever he gets angry at a reporter, it's if somebody inelegantly sort of asks about the team's effort or preparation, because
right.
to him, that is paramount, and to most coaches, but to him in particular, those are, I mean, that's like waving a red flag in front of a bull. You know, who knows? You let it play out. It's going to be looked at by legal minds and everything else. But on the face of it, I'm certainly skeptical about all of the claims. I'd say that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that some of the stuff happened, but I'd like to hear the other side of the story.
Hmm.
You know,
and it's how it's perceived too.
Right.
I mean, this is a matter of. You know, in art, frequently, when I used to study film and things, you know, do you impart meaning? Do you basically put it into your work of art, or is it discerned by the reader or the viewer or the listener?
Uh-huh.
And I think it's kind of a combination of both. You can try to put something in there, but it might not be perceived the same way. And in his case, he'll be intense. And look, people, you know, I just. There are a lot of problems still today with racism, but I've never heard of Bill Fenley at all being associated with that camp, and it doesn't make sense to me. If you make a few comments that might include a certain word that somebody reacts to differently, that doesn't mean that's how he intended it to be taken.
Right.
You know, there's just a lot of, you know. I don't want to question anybody's motives, but you know, a great discussion on this in the recent podcast as well, and I'm kind of on board with what they said. I mean, I think we all at Cyclone Fanatic have a great deal of respect for Bill Fenley, and I'm going to, you know, certainly be in that corner until there's some evidence to prove it otherwise.
Right, definitely. I mean, I feel like. It's just a lot of he said, she said to me, you know?
Yep.
It's like until I see some hard, cold facts, I'm going to side with Bill Fenley.
Yeah. And
there's been too many situations like this recently with women's basketball programs and stuff like that, or just other college sports programs in general with coaches getting sued for stuff like this.
Yeah.
And it just...
It ties in, unfortunately, like with our youth sports culture to some degree.
Right.
The AAU-ization of everything. Parents, therefore, feel like they're entitled to, they're paying a lot of money in those cases. I mean, they become so connected to it, and it becomes like their cause. Their kids' deal is their cause. I'm not saying parents are involved in this case, but it carries over. That's why you see coaches being sued for being too harsh or...
Right.
You know, this or that, you know. I mean, sometimes when there's video like that Rutgers coach, I mean, that's unacceptable and that kind of stuff. You know, the basketball coach a few years back. But, you know, it's just, it's sad, you know, because you're not always going to agree with the authority figure that you're aligned with, whether
right.
it be a team, whether it be a teacher, whether it be a minister or whatever. But you've got to learn to coexist and recognize the good things and the not-so-good things that maybe don't mesh with you and move forward. That's what makes you a tougher person, something that everybody needs. Instead, it's in retrospect, or now I see that something is bothering me. Maybe if things didn't turn out the way that I hoped that they would. I mean, that again, I don't want to throw anything out there, but I mean, it just seems that there's our society's kind of in a bizarre direction when it comes to, ridiculous things being thrown at authority figures. What in most cases, like in this case,
so you think so
we're
you're
chosen.
Society's getting soft. I'll say it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And it's parents' fault.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in a lot of ways. I mean, there are all kinds of things. But let your kids play.
Right.
Just let them play. Let them fail. Let them figure out things. Don't try to shelter them from it. They're going to be embarrassed. They're going to stink at things. That's uh-huh. the only way you get good.
Definitely.
So we kind of went afield of the Bill Fenley thing there. But I think those are sentiments that Coach Fenley would, at least to some extent, agree with.
Rob Gray dropping some knowledge.
We're trying. You too.
That's some wisdom, dude. Yeah.
I've been thinking about it because my daughter's been in some AAU situations. One very positive and one, I'd say it's not so positive. And the source of it generally is, parents.
Yeah.
And I'm not a perfect parent. I make a lot of mistakes. So I'm not being holier than thou. But one mistake I'm not going to make is, hoist my expectations, what I want uh-huh. on my kid. They're going to develop and grow based on what they want.
So you won't be the dad that gets mad at the coach for not playing your kid?
No. No.
That's good.
I mean, those can be tough situations because, you can look and say, I think I could be objective enough about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there were a question about it, and I think my daughter really is kind of better than, or my son as he's getting into it, I think it might be, I would just simply ask the coach, hey, what does Plank have to do to get more playing time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or what is she not doing that she needs to do
right.
in order to get into the, because, there are too many people that appoint themselves experts on everything and then put blinders on to everything else, and they remain that expert throughout.
I'm disappointed that Derek and I weren't able to play Plants and Zombies last week.
Yeah, yeah. He was disappointed too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe some other time.
Definitely.
I think we should do a round robin, go to CW's house, go to Anna's house. So I'll come over here and do a few shots every now and then, get the college mood going, and then come to my place. CW still hasn't been over there.
No.
Adam hasn't been over there. Bloom.
Yeah, definitely. So you want to get to this top five?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Who do you got? So, okay, top five bands/artists. I don't really know that many bands. I mean, I know bands, but I don't listen to that.
See, band. I do because of being older. I mean, I was, in terms of artists, we're talking hip-hop or rap, they didn't really come into being until the... In full force until the mid-80s. Yeah, you had Grandmaster Flash and, Furious Five and Melly Mel and Fat Boys might have preceded that a little bit and some of those guys. But Curtis Blow.
Yeah. Dude, I'm going to show you a book that I got. It's a rap yearbook.
Mm.
And it's got the best rap song from every year.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
Yeah, it's from goes back to 1979. So, yeah, I think it'd be right up your alley.
Yeah, it's great. It's kind of, the origin of rap is kind of there's this Blondie song called mm-hmm. Rapture, where she starts, it's just a weird song, and she starts, fast, fast, ready, it's like she's rapping.
Uh-huh.
But you know it was in the club scene,
right.
Way before it broke through in the mid-80s, and intertwined with disco, unfortunately.
Okay, so who do you got in your honorable mentions?
Honorable mentions, man, there are so many. I mean, I'd have to say a lot of great blues acts. I mean, B.B. King, Buddy Guy. I mean, fantastic bluesmen. Muddy Waters, Bo Diddley, Clarence Gatemouth Brown. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. Those would be some honorable mentions. So many great rock groups, too. I mean, I have a soft spot for some of the hair metal bands of the 80s, like Rat. They wouldn't be a top, Def Leppard, some of those groups. AC/DC still gets played so much, I can't stand AC/DC anymore. Whether it be at a football game, it's always, there's Back in Black, or there's this, Thunderstruck, But a lot of acts like that. There are some crazy old acts that I could touch on from the 60s. I like this band called The Fifth Dimension. It's as 60s as it could possibly sound. Look up Aquarius. That's a great song in my estimation, but it totally dates me. But it's hilarious. You'd trip on it. You'd like it. But that's for starters. Honorable mentions. Just as throwing out bands I'd like. I wouldn't put like Rat anywhere near a top five. Just you know, I enjoyed you know some of those tunes.
All right, I've got I've got Jay-Z in my honorable mention. Wiz Khalifa, Snoop Dogg, Logic, Fetty Wap, DMX, my dude Lil Dicky. I wish I could be Lil Dicky, to be completely honest. Mac Miller and Drake. Drake's was close to my top five. So yeah. Is Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
I love Snoop Dogg just as much for being Snoop Dogg as I do his music.
Yep.
GGN. I mean, we watched some GGN. Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah. So do you want
to great. Those are great honorable mentions. I'd have those guys in the mix as well.
Including Wiz Khalifa?
I've heard some Wiz Khalifa. I think he's good.
He's a good dude. Him and Snoop are going on tour this summer.
We should have Tech N9ne. Maybe Tech N9ne. Maybe we could get Jake to get Tech N9ne to make a song for us.
For the seniors?
Yes.
That would be outstanding.
Just 5 seconds.
Make our intro.
We could do 5 seconds.
Yeah, there we go.
It would take him 5 seconds.
Okay, yeah. So here's who's your number five?
My number five is the one rap act I have in, and it's Public Enemy.
Okay.
1989, Do the Right Thing came out. Spike Lee joint, one of the great films of that decade. And one of the great films, I'd say at least a top 20 U.S. films in the last 25 years.
That's not 25 years.
What's that?
That's not even in the last 25 years.
Well, in a 25-year frame.
Oh, okay.
You know, meaning it's an all-timer. Fight the Power, you know, that was originally an Isley Brothers song and also a great R&B act. But they took that to new heights, and the acting that was done and the way Spike Lee put it to video in the intro of that was great. And they've gone on to be another, you know, He Got Game. They've produced some danceable songs. They've produced some fantastic political and cultural commentary. They were pioneers, in my opinion. And they were spot on in a lot of their analyses. And they're still going, at least Chuck D. You know, Flavor Flav's a rather eccentric dude, but always have enjoyed their stuff.
You can get a Jake Arrieta beanie beard tonight at the iCubs game.
Mm. First, like, 500?
Yeah.
I might have a hard time getting to the ballpark. Really. Derek's got a baseball practice.
Oh, okay. Does he enjoy baseball?
Sort of?
Yeah.
He can really hit the ball.
Better than
he
not
struggles
at all, I guess.
To throw and catch, but he's only 7 years old.
I was going to say, he's young. All right, my number five is Kendrick Lamar.
I was thinking about him, and we had a long discussion on him on one of our trips to this great state of, maybe great state of Kansas.
Mm-hmm. We listened to his newest album on our way. Before our adventure at the park.
Yes, indeed.
In the Little Lagoon thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kendrick, dude, when he brought a release to Pimp a Butterfly, that's one of the best albums I've ever heard. But then he's just an interesting guy. And I can just vibe with his stuff. As much as anything, I just like to vibe, you know?
Sure.
So, yeah, Kendrick, number five.
It's a great pick. Even an old guy like me can really... I mean, I can... He's a true artist.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone should be able to appreciate that. All right. I'll keep my old man cred intact. My number four is U2.
So you were the only person that wasn't mad when... U2's album was downloaded to your phone.
Yeah, and you couldn't do anything about it.
Right.
Still a pretty good album. I mean, some of their earlier songs, Sunday Bloody Sunday, I mean, they helped shape what rock and roll became. And let's face it, I mean, rap is an offshoot of everything.
Uh-huh.
I mean, R&B, disco, but also it's informed by rock. As you see collaborations, you've seen collaborations over time. Heck, you've even seen semi-country collaborations. So it's become intertwined with everything. I mean, U2 was a seminal group, and you know, I got to see them live in Iowa City. We went, you know, it's kind of like if I ever want to pick up tickets to a game, I always just go. I don't mind if I miss a little bit of the game, so I will get tickets cheap.
Uh-huh.
I got them, I think we got a pair of tickets for $10.
Nice.
Because the guy, basically the opening act was halfway through, and the guy was sitting there, and he had his two tickets, and he really wanted to see you too. It's like, come on, just something. You're going to get something.
Uh-huh.
You're going to get something. Some people are too proud. They just eat it. This guy was like, all right, fine. Gave us the tickets. Saw you too in the late 80s. Great, great, great show.
That's awesome.
A lot of great songs. You know, the one about MLK, you know, Pride in the Name of Love. I mean, so many great songs by them. And I know that it dates me because they're kind of old and tired to a lot of people now. But, you know, in their heyday, just a tremendous group.
I've got J. Cole, number four on my list. Another guy that is a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was in high school with my friend, it was the first time I ever heard J. Cole. It was like my junior year of high school. I still remember that to this day. And his album, 2014, Forest Hills Drive, with no features, nothing. It's just him and bars for like 17 songs. And it's amazing. If you haven't heard 2014 Forest Hills Drive, you need to go listen to it because it's about as good as you're going to get in rap in probably about the last 5 years. So, J. Cole. I don't have as much to say about these guys.
How many people in Clarinda get into rap or hip-hop?
Dude, honestly, the only people that really listen to rap from Clarinda are my friends.
Yeah.
Like, we're like the...
The outliers?
Yeah. Everybody else likes country.
Yeah.
Rock and roll music.
No, when I started liking the likes of Run DMC, you know, when it was just starting to become mainstream, hardly anybody else did when mm-hmm. I was growing up in Ames. I mean, yeah, my friends.
Yeah.
And then it spread, you know, and now it's, you know, rap in a lot of ways is very mainstream.
Right.
And just like anything that's mainstream, it has its underground elements, its sub-genres, which kind of help keep it vital. But, yeah, that's a cool thing. And it also, listening to that, it's impossible not to have your mind broadened.
Definitely.
Because people are talking about experiences that in Clarinda or me growing up in Ames as who we are,
uh-huh.
we don't experience.
Right.
And you're forced to kind of wrestle with that a little bit and think about, wow, I mean, it gets you more interested in everything from history to current issues and everything else.
Definitely.
All right. I have to consult my list. I have to, before I forget, honorable mention has to go to Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. And other songs of my childhood in the 80s and, you know, Little Red Corvette. And I mean, so many great songs. Kiss was later covered by the great lounge singer Tom Jones with success. But my number three is also an old man band, The Temptations.
Wow, okay.
I believe it was a favorite of one of the, you know, when they charted the college basketball coaches, some of the college basketball coaches were, it was a favorite. I think they were all over 60, so I'm in good company. I think one of them was somewhat younger. But, you know, from they spanned everything, from the sweet, just melodic, but they had everything. You've got the guy singing in falsetto, you know, and the guy in the mid-range with the good, raspy, mm-hmm. you know, just tough voice, and then you got your baritone, you know, the guy coming in like this,
yeah,
you know, on the song. But they had the sweet melodies, they had some, you know, psychedelic type tunes to hit the 60s, Ball of Confusion, Cloud Nine, Papa Was a Rolling Stone, if you've ever heard that, is one of the great songs of the 60s for sure, and might have been the early 70s when that came out, but kind of the era. I'm voting for the Temptations, and young people can laugh at me all they want.
I'm not going to laugh at you.
Thank you.
I respect it.
I appreciate that.
My number three is Eminem. Mm. Marshall Mathers, Slim Shady. I remember listening. Okay, so when I got my first iPod, and one of my friends showed me Eminem, and when I wanted to download it onto my iPod, my mom and dad wouldn't let me. They made me get the clean version. If you've ever listened to the clean version of Eminem, it's not near as good.
Yeah, yeah.
As the edited version, or as the normal versions, but
it's like our Caddyshack or like one of my, you know, one of the great sports movies, Caddyshack. If mm-hmm. they edit it for TV, mm-hmm. you know, the last scene where we're all going to get, like we can say, on a show, laid. They change it to Rodney Dangerfield saying, "Hey, we're all going to take a shower." I mean, sorry, you've changed the entire character. You've changed the arc. You've changed everything is wrong at that point. You know, so I feel you on the clean versions. Although my son's starting to like some rap, so I have to put some clean versions on there. Otherwise, he's going to be dropping some things in first grade that I don't think are going to fly very well.
Yeah, get him listening to the Slim Shady LP or mm-hmm. Marshall Mathers LP, and then. And Eminem show and
yeah,
get him started early.
Yeah,
I'm just great. Yeah, he'll learn something.
Yeah, he'll that's one way to put it.
All right, who's your number two?
My number two is this is really weird because I would have never made it my number two when I was your age. Sometime I would like to go back and say what would I have made it mm-hmm. when I was. Your age. There's a guy named Leonard Cohen. All right. He, great songwriter. He's been doing it for a long time. And unless he recently died, he's still going strong. He did a song called Anthem. He does a song, you know, he doesn't really sing, but it's basically poetry.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a crack in the world, you know. I've been. He does that. Also does Hallelujah. You know that song where there's a Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah. Now that's been done by others too, but I mean it's just very evocative, very haunting kind of music. I mean it's another way you can kind of get lost in yourself and I don't know. It makes me feel more creative when I'm listening to something like that, which, again, hip-hop can do, which is, this is almost similar to a degree, because great hip-hop, I think, is true poetry.
Right.
And it, I don't know, Leonard Cohen is not for everybody, but speaks to me a little bit.
Is this what you listen to when you write a Rob Gray feature?
Yeah, every now and then. I might also listen to a couple shots of scotch. Never hurts.
Fair enough. My number two is Dr. Dre. Yeah, I don't know.
Better than Snoop.
Yeah.
He's had an impact on so many other. I mean, he was kind of the creative force.
Yeah.
And it still makes fun. Now are Beats headphones now considered like old man's headphones?
No, I think they're anymore? Just. No, they're. I wear Beats. You've seen me with my Beats at at Hilton Coliseum. Yeah.
I love the sound in them.
Yeah, definitely.
We got free ones when I got my latest Mac.
And oh, wow.
Unfortunately, with the, you know, the pad around one of the sides coming off, but I would wear them when I'm out working in the yard or gardening and all that stuff, too, so probably sweat affected, but wonderful. So
Also makes outstanding music.
Yes, exactly. I mean, what are your favorites? I mean, The Chronic is one of
the Chronic's outstanding. I wish it was LPs. On Spotify.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he was one of the driving forces of N.W.A. Mm-hmm. So anything with N.W.A., you get a lot of Dre influence. And
see, I was young.
He's influenced so many of the rappers that I like that yeah. it makes it so he's up there too, you know.
Here's one thing we could talk about, because when I was your age, N.W.A. burst onto the scene.
Yeah.
And it was taboo, you know. It was, I mean, because, you know, a lot of the song, you know, I mean, they were throwing, you know, great... The late comedian Richard Pryor, you know, threw a lot of F's and MF's out there
mm-hmm.
In his routines. Well, I mean, these guys took it to a whole other level, but they also were providing a social commentary. And some of it was, frankly, awful and offensive, but that's who they were. And it evolves like everything else. But it was so in your face and unapologetic and truly... artistic, even though, you know, they're not playing instruments, it's samples, it's this, electronic. That was another album that makes you kind of reassess where you are in the world, because they're speaking truth. Even the ugly, brutal, nasty stuff, offensive stuff,
mm-hmm.
it's truth to them. And you, anytime you face somebody else's truth, you grow as a person as well. So it affected me quite a lot. Still got that CD laying around somewhere, I think.
Anyone that has not seen Straight Outta Compton needs to.
Yeah.
And if you haven't listened to Dr. Dre's new album, Compton, you need to. It's on Apple Music. I've got it on hard copy if you need to borrow it. So, yeah, Dr. Dre. It's my number two.
I'm making a note of that now. I missed that had come out. So.
Yeah, it came out last year.
Okay.
Very good, right around the time of the movie.
Oh, you know what? I do remember hearing that. Somehow it just kind of fell through the cracks doing mm-hmm. other things. I got to put that on my Apple Music queue,
definitely.
As it were.
It's very good.
Well, we'll get to my number one, also Old Man, as you might expect, the Jimi Hendrix Experience.
There you go.
Do you know any Hendrix tunes?
Is there one called, like, Purple Haze?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
All Along the Watchtower, that was done by Dylan before, maybe others. Foxy Lady, Fire, Freedom is a great song, one of his later ones before he died way too soon under not too pleasant circumstances. He's great. And there are old interviews of him. I mean, he was a thinker. Uh-huh. I mean, you talk about it. I mean, I can't remember what it's called, but I read a biography of him. And deep guy, one of the great figures of Woodstock, and still blows my mind that summer was when, I was 6 months from walking,
yeah,
probably, and they're doing Woodstock out there in New York. And I'm, crawling around duplex in Ames, Iowa. But, no, I mean, his music was he was a true innovator, true with the guitar. And, just based on his artistry alone, a lot of respect.
My number one's Chance the Rapper. Just went and saw him in concert recently.
Mm-hmm.
But... I don't even know how to explain it, really. He's just, to me, he is like the true new age artist. He does everything. He arranges music, he'll write music, he writes raps for people.
Yep.
And then every time he writes a feature, it's going to be killer. I mean, every single that he releases is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, he comes out with a new album this week, maybe.
Nice.
So... yeah, I'm really excited. He's really, really good. And he's just an interesting guy. And then he gives a lot back to the community and was voted, Man of the Year in Chicago last year. Nice. So, yeah.
Yeah, because not everybody does that. So that's great. And I think driving with you, heard a number of his tunes, too,
yeah,
since he's your favorite.
Yeah.
And it's good stuff.
Yeah, he's a little bit different. I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of people that probably don't like him just because he's independent and he's mm-hmm. not really mainstream. But he's up and coming. He's gonna be huge.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice cutting edge.
Definitely
cutting edge pick.
All right, there was one last thing I wanted to ask you about. Good top five, again.
Yeah, yours as well. I think we hit a nice eclectic mix.
Yeah,
because of our age differences.
Definitely. Make sure and continue to send us your top five suggestions if you have any ideas. We've got a couple more in the bank, but we're always needing more ideas. It's going to be a long summer, so
indeed,
keep on sending us those on Twitter at Rob W. Gray, at Stans51. My last thing I want to talk to you about, did you see the video with Draymond Green from last night?
Last night? I did not see that.
He scolded a reporter.
Uh-oh.
For asking what I'll admit was a stupid question.
Was it a foolish question?
It was. It was a foolish question. He was asking him about the flood in Houston, and Draymond told him, "You're not going to get you're not going to get a soundbite out of me." Well, but they did, but it wasn't in that way.
So, were they trying to?
The question was so you have to go watch the video. The question was so ridiculous that I don't even know what he was trying to get him to do, really.
I mean, and excuse my ignorance. I know Draymond Green from great player at Michigan State and all that. Is he recruited from Houston?
No.
But the Rockets.
Yeah, they're playing the Rockets.
Yeah, that would be a question. Maybe you'd talk to the Rockets about how, you're part of this community, but he's not on the Rockets. He's on the Warriors.
Well, and then The guy's question was like, game three, there's no flood, you lose. Game four, there's flood, and you win. And it was like,
So he's trying to say, yeah, I hope it floods more. People died in that flood. And what's he gonna?
That's what Draymond Green said. He's like, that's people's lives, bro.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I totally agree. Look, every reporter, you know, this ties back into failing. Yes, dumb questions. I know I have, mm-hmm. whether it might be a rambling question or it might be, there's some questions you kind of have to ask that, you know, seem dumb or prosaic, you know, boring, but it gets at, you know, but that type of question is just totally, you deserve to get called out for a question like that. This isn't asking, you know, or you heard maybe that he's helped out flood victims elsewhere. Hey, right. I know you're playing Houston, you're not part of the team, but if you thought about doing anything here, I mean, that's legitimate, not in a post game, I think, but mm-hmm. maybe in a pregame availability, just if you're talking off to the side. And maybe if you have something like a relationship, the way you described it as being worded, that's callous and bizarre, and I would have reacted exactly the same way, I think.
That's people's lives, bro.
Yeah, that's well put.
I got to get my puppy out of bed.
Yeah, hope she had a good morning sleep.
Yeah.
And night.
She needed to calm down.
Yeah.
She was running all around in circles. All right, you got anything else to add?
No, just cue up some Chance the Rapper for her, and she'll be...
Yeah, definitely.
Nice, mellow, and thoughtful the rest of the day.
Yeah, for sure. All right, thanks for listening, dudes.
Yeah, thanks.